Well, a guy was going to take a flight. He was walking through the airport, doing the security, checking in, all that kind of stuff. And something caught his eye. It was a machine that sold life insurance policies while you're on the flight. He thought that was peculiar. He looked out the window and saw the sky was a little cloudy, a little dark. Then he started thinking about his wife and his kids at home and thought, I mean, it's $100,000 worth of coverage. It only costs 10 bucks. Maybe this would be worth it. So he feeds in his $10. He gets his policy, puts it in his pocket. He's heading down the hallway, and he thinks, you know, I got a little bit of time to kill. I'm kind of hungry, so I'm going to get something to eat. And he sees a Chinese restaurant, thought, perfect. This is my favorite thing, is Chinese food. And so he's just enjoying his meal, getting ready for his flight. And he thought, you know what? I'll go ahead and open up my fortune cookie. And he cracked it open. He looked at it, and his jaw hit the table. He couldn't believe what he read. It said, your most recent investment is going to pay big dividends. Now, what would cause a guy to, you know, apparently there used to be these machines in airports. This is long before my time, I guess, that you actually could buy an insurance policy. What would drive a guy to do that? Well, he was a little worried, and that's what we're going to talk about today, winning over worry. How many of you worry? Ever have worries? If you don't raise your hand, you are in your mind, because we all do. Worry is a part of life, and we've got God gives us a battle plan. He gives us steps to help us to win over worrying. Now, going off subject just for a second, how many of you love a nice chocolate chip cookie? That just beats about anything. I love a nice chocolate chip cookie. But what washes down a chocolate chip cookie better than anything? A nice cold glass of milk, right? Now, how many of you, this is getting a little gross, but how many of you in your household will grab the peanut butter out of the cabinet and just stick a spoon in there and just get you a nice big hunk of peanut butter? Any peanut butter junkies here today? Okay, yeah, that happens in my house as well. What helps that go down better than anything? A nice cold glass of milk. What is the worst thing that could possibly happen to you if you ate that cookie or got some peanut butter, especially the peanut butter, and then you go to the refrigerator to find out your kids have drank all the milk? Water just doesn't cut it. I mean, it gets it down, but it's just not nearly as enjoyable. You might remember the slogan a few years back that you saw in a lot of cafeterias. You saw commercials on TV, got milk, right? But what about when you take a big swallow of life, do you ever got worry? I mean, if you live life, whether it's your family, it's at work, it's health, it's finances, the list goes on and on and on. Worry often is associated with life and the things that we go through. It doesn't matter if you're young, your age, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, worry is a part of life. But Jesus says, don't worry. If you have your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. Solomon had something to say in his Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, about being anxious. He says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. And if we let anxiety and stress build enough, and we worry and we worry and we worry, it literally can feel like you got an elephant on your chest. The pressure of life, the pressure of situations, at times can be overwhelming. But in Matthew 6, Jesus simply says, don't worry about your life. Now, we have worry, but there's also concern. And I've had people ask me, is it wrong to worry, or is this concern? And I was looking into this week. Concern is different. Concern focuses on probable difficulties and does something to correct it or change it. And there are certain things in life that, they concern you. And there are things that are probable that you can handle with God. But then there's worries. And worries are the opposite. Worries focus on improbable difficulties and does nothing at all about them. And it's worries of life, things that are out of our control, that stress us out as people. And perhaps, unlike any other time in history, where you can turn on the TV, and it doesn't matter what news channel you turn to, we're being told to be worried. Worry this, and worry that, and worry this, and worry that. And we get fixated, and it drives us to a breaking point. And our nerves get the best of us. We turn cranky, and you know we're intolerable, and we can't get along with people, because worry has just festered so much. Worry asks, what if? And we don't have the answer. And so, rather than worrying, we need to turn to Jesus. Because Jesus has a remedy to our worry. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is he's preaching. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Most people say that this is Jesus' most famous sermon that he ever preached. In a way, he's kind of kick-starting his ministry. And he's on a hillside. People have come to gather and hear Jesus teach. And he's teaching about how he wants us, how he desires us to live our lives, to honor God. And then he gets to the subject matter of worrying. And so, here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body. What you'll wear, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so Jesus starts out and says, don't worry about your life. And then he caps this off by saying, each day has enough trouble of its own. And we know that to be true. What are the things that we worry about? How about a little participation? I'm going to count to three, and you just say out loud, what's something that you worry about? Can we participate this way? Okay? All right, one, two, three. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. One, two, three. We're all shy. Come on. First service, outdid you guys. We'll have to do this again some other time. But hey, I mean, we worry about things. There's a plethora of things that we worry about. Not concern, but things that we worry about. Things that are out of our control, and they can drive us crazy. They can cause us stress and anxiety. And we try to live day in and day out, and you know it doesn't work. And so Jesus gives us some steps. You see, worry isn't something we've developed now in the 21st century. Jesus told the first century Jews that were there listening not to worry. That worry has been a condition that humanity's lived in since sin entered the world. And while it's a part of our life, it doesn't have to dominate our lives. And so Jesus gives us some steps here in the Sermon on the Mount, some steps that we can take. And this isn't just a snap of the finger and all of a sudden, after you hear this sermon, you're going to walk out these doors, you're going to go eat lunch, and then not have any worry the rest of your life. But it's these steps that you take. A step or two here, you might have accomplished, but there might be one or two that you haven't. But this takes an attitude adjustment. Maybe you remember your parents telling you, you know what, you want an attitude adjustment? Maybe you've told your kids that. Maybe the belt was an attitude adjuster for you, I don't know. But for Jesus, he gives us these steps that can help change our attitude toward what it is that we worry about. And so the first is to develop an eternal perspective. In verse 25, Jesus says, "Is not life more important than food?" Now, for some of you, you might think, food is pretty important, right? I mean, you've got to have food. But Jesus is just taking something very common, very ordinary, very average thing that is a necessity of life, but pointing out that the things that we think we need, and when in fact we do, shouldn't supersede the fact that God has way more in store for us in eternity. And we can get so fixated on what's going on currently in our lives that it can blind us to the fact that God is going to do something so remarkable for us in eternity. And we have to have an eternal perspective in life. Otherwise, we could be so focused on what's going on in our lives currently, what's going on maybe in the near future, that it'll be overwhelming. Because at times, life can hit us so hard. And then we start to worry, and we get anxious, we get nervous. Jesus says you need to have an eternal focus. Focusing primarily just on what's going on in life now, honestly, is foolish. It's just silly. but it's very easy to do, where we just get fixated on what's going on now. But Jesus would urge us to have eternal perspective as well, that this too shall pass. There's that old hymn that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And when we have an eternal perspective, then we won't be so consumed by what's going on now, and worry won't have to dominate our lives. A second step that Jesus tells us here in his teaching is to learn to trust the providence of God. Simply said, that God is in control. That you would recognize that God is in control of your life, and at times it can really seem like, who's got a hold of the wheel here? Because it's went off the rails and I don't know where it's going. But that you would trust God. Jesus says in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And we have to be willing to turn control over to God in the situations where you worry yourself sick. And you know you can't change it or make things different, so you would just turn that over to God and let God take control of your situation. This is hard for me to say, turning over the wheel. You know, our family is going to go on a trip where we're going to drive a few miles here in a couple, 9 days. And, I've admitted this before, something's missing up here. I mean, there's not a lot in there, but there's something missing. Something doesn't connect, because when I'm in a car, I have to drive, okay? And my wife, she has given up long ago, ever thinking she's going to get to drive the car. I could be dead tired, hardly keep my eyes awake, and I'll say, okay, you drive. And I'll get in the passenger seat, and I'm wide awake. You know, it's like I just got 8 hours of sleep in my own bed at home. I can't fall asleep. You know, for you and I, it's hard for us to let go of the wheel. We know we're in a situation that we can't control, where there's something going on in your life that seems to be so overwhelming that you can't navigate it. And that Jesus would tell you to learn to trust the providence of God. Turn it over to him and allow him to guide you. You know, I was reading this week about worrying, and, you know, worry is a sin. I don't think we really think of it in that regard, but when we worry about something, then we're signaling to God that we don't trust him or we don't believe him. And I found some scripture that kind of backs this up. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "All things work together for the good to those who love God." But you know what worry would tell you about that? Well, I don't think that's true. I'm consumed with this, and it's all about my thoughts. Philippians 4, 19 tells us that God, he can supply all our needs. Worry says, well, I don't think he'll fulfill that promise. Or in Matthew 28, when Jesus is given the Great Commission, and as he closes this Great Commission out, he tells his followers, his disciples, that I will be with you always to the very end of the age. But worry would say, I don't think that you'll be there when I need you. You see, when we're steeped in anxiety, we're worrying about things that we can't control. They're not allowing God to work fully in our lives. And so we have to let go of the wheel. We need to move over to the passenger seat and tell God, I want you to guide me through this situation because I can't on my own. But it takes an attitude adjustment, as I said earlier. It takes a big attitude adjustment to say to God, I can't handle this solo. I need you a part of it. A third step that Jesus gives us is to maintain proper priorities. In verse 33, he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, it takes a razor-sharp perspective in life. And what's your perspective? He says here, first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. You see, we can be going down the track of life, and we can jump the track and start to veer away from God, and that's a scary place to be. Because when we go our own path and we are drifting further and further from God, when we face the stresses of life, anxiety, the things that we worry about, when we're further from God, then it becomes overwhelming because we realize that we're all alone. And God would say, what is your perspective? What's your priorities in your life? Because the pressures of life on our own, it's too much for us to handle. God has not designed us to do this all on our own, to go it solo. But God has designed us to have a relationship with the Son, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and God can guide us through. He can keep us on the right track. And perhaps maybe you've been there in a situation. You made it through the other side. And you look back and you saw how God was with you the whole way through. And it's almost kind of a mystical thing of how did I make it through this? But then you realize it was because God was with you. You had God's intentions in mind. You were prioritized to God's will in your life, not your own. Paul describes it that God grants us a peace that surpasses all understanding. When we go through circumstances in life that outside of a relationship with God, maybe you wouldn't have made it through, you'd have been so stressed. But because you made it through and you had God the whole time, it surpasses knowledge or understanding. You can't explain it, but you know it happened because of the Lord. And the last step that Jesus gives us is simply to live one day at a time. And man, this is hard. Especially, remember when you were a kid, you couldn't wait to get older. Now that you're older, well, you're older. We have to learn to live one day at a time. And we get anxious and we get nervous because we wonder about the future. And it can worry us about where things are headed or what it's going to be like. And Jesus simply says, don't worry about tomorrow in verse 34, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And that's very true. That's easy to understand, but it's much harder to live out, to live one day at a time. Because it's really easy to get over anxious and nervous and stressed, and we worry and we make ourselves crazy at times because we're so full of worry about what might come. Jesus is saying, take advantage of each day that you're given. Take advantage, live each day for itself. And Jesus says, you're going to have trouble. Jesus told his disciples a few times that in this life that you're going to have difficulties, you're going to have trouble. But Jesus would then tell them, but take heart, because Jesus is in control. And we just live one day at a time. It's kind of like the lady that lived in the nursing home. She always dreaded the day that she'd feel good because she knew she'd feel bad the next day. We just live one day at a time and allow God to guide our situations. Jesus says the birds will die and the flowers, they'll wither. And for us, the Alzheimer's may come or the cancer cells may grow or someone you love will get sick or your company might downsize. The car may break down. The washing machine might flood the laundry room. I mean, troubles are a part of daily life. But we shouldn't get anxious. We shouldn't worry. And Jesus didn't try to say, well, just sing kumbaya and everything will be rosy and you'll be fine. You don't have to have any worries in life. Jesus told us that there would be difficulties. Jesus didn't coin the phrase, don't worry, be happy. He wasn't Jamaican. Jesus told us you'll face difficulties. But then he teaches the Sermon on the Mount and he says, but don't worry. Don't let worry dominate your life because through God, you don't have to live that way. We can't let our worries of this life dominate our days. And for you and I, worry is a battle we're all going to face. With all the people in this room, each of us sin. We all must make mistakes, okay? Now, our mistakes, the things that we deal with, are different from one another. But I think in this room, all of us, maybe not daily, but pretty close to it, we have some worry that creeps in. It's something that we have to battle, and that's why Jesus taught about it in the Sermon on the Mount. Because he didn't want his followers, he didn't want those who may become followers, to live a life filled with stress and anxiety and worry. Because he knew that Satan likes to use that as a tool to derail your relationship with God. Because when we live a life filled with worry, it can separate us in our relationship with God. Because when we worry, we get anxious. We get anxious, we get stressed out. And what do you do when you're stressed? You lash out. You lash out at someone else. You want to find, why am I feeling this way? And you lash out at others. And what we can tend to do is lash out to God. When we worry enough, and we wonder, why am I going through this? And God would say, we don't have to go through it alone. I want to be there with you and guide you through this. That we shouldn't have to live each day stressed out. I found this quote this week that says, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. And if you could be honest with yourself, how many days have you lived where your worry has sapped your day, has taken your joy? I think if you'd be honest with yourself, it happens more often than we realize. And we might want to blame it on someone else or something else that's going on, but too often it's just us worrying about things that we can't control, getting stressed out, lashing out at others, when in turn we've just allowed our worry to rob us of our joy for the day. And I hope that we wouldn't be people who would allow that to happen, because when we start to get stressed out and it affects us and we start to lash out, it also doesn't just ruin our relationship with the Lord, but it can ruin our relationship with others. And it can ruin our Christian witness when we let worry and stress and anxiety get the best of us. And Jesus would just tell you, turn it over to me. Allow me to guide you through this. Have the attitude of my priorities in your life, and you can win the battle over worry. And in life, trying to live it alone just isn't how God designed us. God has designed us to be in relationship with Him, and that starts with His Son, Jesus. That Jesus loved us so much, He wanted us to have a relationship with Him, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, that He spared His life for us so that He could eliminate sin in our life and we could be in a right relationship with God. And so this morning, if you have felt stressed, anxiety, worry, and you haven't started a relationship with Jesus, then that's where it first begins. And so this morning, we welcome you if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then we welcome you to make that decision this morning. And for those of you who have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, perhaps this morning there's something that you need to get off your chest. And you're not going to have to tell someone else or me, but you just tell the Lord as we sing this song that this has worried me, it's stressed me, it's given me anxiety, and I don't want to live this way anymore. I want you to take this from me. So this morning, let's go ahead and stand together, and let's praise God through this song.